Huh. I thought this was Resurrection Sunday, and it seems like almost Christmas because it looks like there's no room at the inn. I got people standing in the back, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Amen.
When the house of God is full.
Amen.
I don't know. I just like being with you guys.
Yeah.
You know what? You're nice. You're nice. That last church I was in, I want to read a scripture this morning, and a very familiar one in John chapter 20 that you've all read. But I want to read it, and then we'll pray. John chapter 20 and verses 1 to 18. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And he said to them," you know, I got to stop there for a second, because I think John gets a bad rap. I think people misunderstand John, because I believe that for each one of us, when we walk in true humility, then we start to say what the Word of God says about us. Right? So you need to tell your neighbor, say, "I am the disciple that God, that Jesus loves." Tell your other neighbor, say, "No, it's me." You see, I believe John, because I don't think he was trying to be egotist, because Jesus would have dealt with that. I don't think he was being arrogant and trying to outdo the rest of the disciples. I think John had a revelation of who he was and what God said about him, and he received it into his heart, everything that God said. And he said, "I'm the one that Jesus loved." And I pray that every morning you get up and look in the mirror and you say the same thing. Because there's a lot of people that are walking around that don't believe they're loved. If you're here this morning, I want you to know you're loved.
Amen.
You are loved. Tell your neighbor, say, just tell your neighbor, say, "I don't even know you and I love you." Now, don't say it to your spouse, okay? It's not fair. Bradley, did you say it this morning? No, huh? All right. But I believe that every morning that's where the focus has to be. Because if you don't believe you're loved, you're going to limit what God can do through you. Because if you don't believe that you're loved, you're going to try to find it. You're going to try to produce something so that people love you. When we know that we're loved by God, freedom comes into our hearts. Amen? Because then I do everything out of one purpose, and that's that he gets the glory. I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to try to perform anymore to try to get it just right so that I'm loved. He did it just right, and he said, "I love you." And that's where it's got to start and stop. Because otherwise, we'll do things for man. Tell your neighbor, say, "I'm not doing it for you." All right. And he said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. And the two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter, and he came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb and then also entered, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels sitting or in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, Why are you weeping, and whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you this morning for your presence in this place. We are so grateful for your written word. For your word has changed us. Your word has brought us into a right relationship with you. You have explained to us over and over again. And this morning, Holy Spirit, help me to bring the understanding of the power of the resurrection through your word, so that you will be glorified and our lives will be changed. Help me to remind each of us of how your plan for your life was to bring freedom and true purpose into ours. Holy Spirit, fill us up, open us up, give us understanding this morning so that we might live a life that glorifies you and many would come to know the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you the praise in Jesus' name, amen. Resurrection in the Webster's Dictionary, you know, a lot of definitions have changed over the years. They've replaced them. But the first two in Webster's, it says the rising of Christ from the dead. That's one thing that Webster stayed true to and one thing they got right. And they're never going to be able to change that because he's the beginning of it all and he's the end. And the second one was the rising again to life of all the human dead before the final judgment. So everything has to do with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the other resurrection is those that die in Christ and they're all coming back with him for that one last battle. Amen? Which really it's not a battle. Can we just be honest? There's not much of a battle that's coming. It's already been won. So they're coming back to celebrate with the Lord Jesus Christ as he vanquishes the enemy once and for all. And we never, ever have to deal with him again. Isn't that good news? That's such good news. You never have to worry about wrong thoughts again. You'll never have to worry about wrong deeds. You'll never have to be jealous of the person sitting next to you again. Won't that be wonderful? You won't ever have to eat Brussels sprouts again. Sorry. That's just one that I'm not a fan of. All because he is risen. You know, we went through this at the beginning. I know some of you came in late. When I say he is risen, you say he is risen indeed. How long must I be with you? As we celebrated Good Friday a couple of days ago and celebrated the seven statements of Jesus. You know, when we see through the scriptures of how the Son of God voluntarily gave himself to the cross, no one took his life. No one killed Jesus. Jesus offered himself up as a sacrifice. Amen? No one made him lay his life down for us. He did it in honor to the Father. John 10:18, it says, "No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." So many people have a wrong impression. Do you think that Jesus couldn't call about 12 legions of angels and have them delivered from what was going on? Is there any doubt who was in charge? Is there any doubt in your mind who was in charge all the way through this whole process? God had planned this from the beginning. Jesus simply orchestrated what the Father had spoken for one purpose and one purpose only, because he wanted a family. And he wanted a right relationship with you and me, with no guilt, no shame, no condemnation, no worries, no fears, no fretting, no anxiety, nothing. He wanted us to know how good he is. And he said, the only way to break the curse is to send my son. And Jesus said, I'll do it. And he did it of his own accord. Nobody else was in control except Jesus. Nobody. The devil, he's an idiot because he thought he was. See, you mentioned the devil, people get afraid. Well, I don't know if you should go there, brother. That's dangerous. Used to be. Taint no more. Did he give us victory over him? Do you have victory over the demons? Right. Are you afraid? I just wanted to see everybody say yes. No, what are we to be afraid of? He conquered death, hell, and the grave, right? The last enemy was death. And Jesus conquered that. He said the weakest Christians have more authority than the demons. And the devil, he made a show of him openly. Openly. He's not a threat to you anymore. When is the church going to grab a hold of that? You see, because we don't understand the resurrection power, then we walk in guessing and wondering and thinking, well, if I don't read right, if I don't pray enough, if I'm not nice, then everything bad's going to happen to me. Listen, here's what happens when we walk through trials. We get stronger. We get stronger when we walk through trials than when we walk through victory. Because victories come and go very quickly. But how many trials in your life are still there in your mind? And God says, how many times did somebody come and bring a corrective word, maybe since you've been in Christ, not before? And that word stuck with you and you chewed on it for a while. Maybe it stung a little bit, but maybe it was the truth. Right? Yeah. Maybe 10 other people already told you, hey, listen, I'm trying to come up with something and I just got nothing. Because what I came up with, I can't say. All right? But maybe someone came up with something that, you know, you shouldn't walk down the middle of the street. You said, it's America, I'll do what I want. And then maybe somebody had to come along and say, you look pretty silly. And maybe you said, well, that's pretty mean. And yet, it stuck with you and you knew you had to change. God uses people to help change each one of us. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, just tell your neighbor, say, I'm here to help you change. I want a word from God, not you. Sometimes God uses each and every one of us, amen? I like it when God uses each and every one of us. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, fixing his eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him. Jesus was in charge all the way through this. There was no doubt what was going to happen. And that brought him great joy that all of us would be ushered into a relationship with the King of Glory. That every curse would be broken, that the enemy would be destroyed, openly putting him to shame, no longer being someone that can control and manipulate you. Isn't that good news? He doesn't have the power to manipulate you. If you understand the power of the resurrection. You see, because so many times we get saved and that's about the end of it. We come to the cross. But can I tell you there's more than just coming to the cross? There's going through the cross and with the cross because we're going to walk according to the Spirit. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we're going to walk in a greater freedom than when we came in. Amen. And God's got something greater for each and every one of us. He's got a freedom for your life. When we understand the power of the resurrection and what Christ has done and the enemy has lost, we're going to live in such a way that it changes the entire known world. And I'm looking forward to that from you. Each and every individual in this room, everyone grabbing a hold of the reality of who he is. He said, for the joy set before him. Whatever you have to walk through, we're going to have to make a decision. What's set before me? Eternity with the Father, a place that he's already prepared for us. Amen? Therefore, you're only passing through. You're only on a mission trip here for a few years, and you're going home. We lost Brother Al Blanks yesterday. Miss Brenda Blanks, his husband, Al, went home to be with the Lord. And we did his funeral yesterday. If you ever met Al Blanks, he was one of the kindest, gentlest men you ever met. Just the sweetest man. But his days have come to an end. And let me tell you something. I know one thing for sure. Al understands the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He loved the Lord. There is no doubt in his mind that the word of God is true. No doubt in his mind. Is there any doubt in your mind? Because that's what we're working on this morning. We've got to get rid of that doubt and that unbelief. We've got to get past that part where you say, well, it's good for somebody else. It works for some, but it doesn't work for me. It works for everyone who believes. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
All right. Philippians 3:10, he says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. A lot of times we just stop there. I want to know the power of his resurrection, but there's also the fellowship of suffering. And there's also the conforming to his death. And each one of us are going to have to die, because when we die, then we live, right? God's economy is crazy, isn't it? If you want to be great, you got to be the greatest servant. If you want to live, you got to die. If you want to have, you got to give. God's completely backwards of everything that we think of in our natural mind. But I don't think God's backwards.
No.
I think we were trained backwards. We learned things backwards because of the selfishness and the arrogance and the desire and all of those things that rise up on the inside of us. No, we want to do it our way. But this is how God's economy works. And let me tell you something. God's economy always works this way. It'll never work another way. The power of his resurrection, or the power of death, hell, and the grave, has been destroyed by his love and his suffering. He had to suffer so that we could live. He had to suffer to walk through what the Father had laid out for the victory in each one of our lives. Proclaiming himself to be the ruler of the kingdoms of all the earth, where the angels in heaven were crying, holy, holy, holy. Jesus won it all. Can you see all that the Lord has done for you? And as we walk through his great love, and as he walked through his great love and suffering, can we stay focused on what he's accomplished for each one of us? Tell your neighbor, say, I don't have any guilt, shame, or condemnation. Tell your other neighbor, say, there's no fear of rejection. Right. Tell the person behind you, there's no worrying about tomorrow. Right. Knowing you have been glorified, you have a glorified body coming. Isn't that good news? You got a glorified body coming. So I don't know what yours is going to look like, but I know what I'm hoping for. And I'm not saying. Knowing you have a place prepared for you by the greatest carpenter the world has ever known. Understanding he withholds no good thing from you. Listen, this is the power of the resurrection. These are the things that we received on the day we accepted Jesus Christ, because this is what he won for us at Calvary. All of these promises, understanding he'll never leave you nor forsake you, understanding no matter how many times you stumble, he's there to pick you up. Realizing you have a new name, and realizing the person of the Godhead, the King of Kings, lives on the inside of you. Therefore, because of that, is there anything impossible for you? Absolutely not. Nothing is impossible. See, the power of the resurrection is a coming to an understanding, agreement that the word of God is true. My experience has lied to me. The word of God is true. All of his promises are yea and amen. And anything in my mind that's outside of that, like we said earlier during worship, that if there's something we've elevated higher than the Lord, then we're going to have to bring that off of its throne. We've got to rip it down off of its throne. Because I have to get up and spend time with the Lord, more time than I spend with my bride. We spend a lot of time together, but my time in the Word, my time in prayer, all of that has to come first before her. Otherwise, I'm going to destroy my marriage single-handedly. It comes before all of my children. And my grandchildren, when they run in, it's like they consume, right? We've got 9 of them now. When they come, they're going to come over today. Well, 8 of them anyway. And it's like controlled chaos.
Not controlled.
Oh, it's not controlled? Okay, it's just chaos. But can I tell you, there's one after another jumping on you, running, and pa, 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 mima, mima. And it's wonderful. And they don't stop. They don't stop. And we love every minute of it. But I can't, even as much fun as they are, I've got to spend more time with the Father than I do with them. When it comes to, you know, what meeting our needs, if we give all of our time to working in order to supply, in order to have a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, let me tell you something, it's out of whack. Because that can't consume our lives. It always gets quiet on that one. Because we're told, you got to work. And you're right. You need to work. We got a generation that doesn't want to work. Nobody in here. Everybody in here, get to work. It's what we do. Why? Because we know that we're going to be able to sow if we work. And there's other people that are in need around the world that we need to go build into. Amen? I love how in the scripture it says that Mary saw Jesus, but she didn't know who he was. And all he had to do was say her name. Isn't that amazing? He just said her name, and all confusion was over. Every bit of confusion, it didn't matter anymore. Oh, just tell me where you laid him, Mary. Rabboni. All of a sudden, everything started to come together. She still didn't understand it all, but all the confusion left, the fear left, everything was gone. I want you to know that when you start to walk close with the Lord Jesus Christ, all confusion goes. If you don't know, there's some, not nobody in here, but there's some that don't even know what gender they are. Can I tell you? They spend a moment with the Lord and they'll understand.
Right.
It's very simple, amen? It is not something hard and difficult. God doesn't live by his feeling. He did not create the world by a feeling. He set things up purposely.
Yes.
And we need to walk in them. But one moment with him, and at that moment, change comes. All confusion leaves. If you're confused about what you're supposed to do, get alone with him. Because if you want to see the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in action, then you're going to have to get alone with him and say, Father, what would you have me do? Right? We see the Apostle Paul. He comes and Jesus knocks him off his horse, right? He sits there and he has a time with him. Paul goes blind. He sends a man that he didn't even know to come and bring healing. The man that was bringing healing to his life, he's petrified of meeting Paul because Paul was known for killing Christians. And therefore, he wanted nothing to do with him. But yet one word from the Lord, and he went and did it anyway. One word from the Lord, and he said, all right, Lord. He said, yeah, but you know who he is and what he's doing. The Lord said, go do it anyway. Listen, God's going to send you to some people that you might not want to hang out with. Maybe they're sitting next to you. Maybe they're the ones that told you about the Lord, and all of a sudden you started liking them. You didn't like them before today. But God's going to send you to people that maybe you don't know very well and you don't get along with very well. But I want you to know you're there to change their lives because of the power of God on the inside of you. He sent Ananias, to pray for Paul, and Paul's eyes were open. And then Paul starts preaching the word of God. Paul got in trouble for preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't mind the rest of it, but you don't preach about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You start preaching that right now. Me and my wife were out in Tucson and had to preach in 2 different churches out there, both of them that we helped plant. We came alongside others that planted them and had a wonderful time preaching out there. And on the way back, I sat with this young kid. He come out of Montana, and a good-looking kid, you know. I said, what's your name? He said, Chad. I said, of course it is. But so we sat there with Chad, and me and Chad started to talk. And I started talking about the things of God. First of all, I found out what I said, well, what do you do? He says, I'm going to Saratoga because we created a machine that takes cow manure and it makes natural gas out of it. And I was like, well, Bill Gates is going to try to put you out of business. But I said, well, that's wonderful. That's a great idea. I said, I hope that works out for you. And we started talking. And I said, so, you know, are you married? No, been living with my girlfriend for the last 2 years. We're getting married. I said, well, that's good. I said, does she know the Lord? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, I'd run if I were you. And he said, well, and we started talking more about the things of God. And I said, you know, there's one thing about the Lord. We know Jesus Christ. We can prove it historically. There's so much evidence about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no salvation outside of his name. And only through his blood do we find salvation. He said, just hang on. Just hang on. He said, I grew up a Christian. I said, wonderful. Then you know about covenant, right? In the Old Testament. I started explaining covenant. He was like, no. I said, all right, because you're going to make a covenant with this girl, but it's going to have to be according to the word of God. If you want to have victory all the way through it, you better do it according to what he said. And that's when all of a sudden his hands started ringing. He was like, well, why do you need the name of Jesus anyway? Why can't it just be God? And he just wringing his hands, and you can see the blood was rushing up to his head. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Because I want to stir him so he has to think. I want to get him to a place where he has to realize that what he's saying is complete foolishness. Because he grew up in it, and his mother was a Christian and praying for him, and he was raised in it. So we got talking, and he says, yeah, well, I just don't see why it's got to be the name of Jesus. And the Holy Ghost just gave me one answer after another, after another, after another. Stuff I didn't even remember. And I was like, whoa, that was incredible. But it wasn't me. And so I looked at Chad, his face is all red, and he's just frustrated. He's wringing his hands. I said, hey, Chad. He said, yeah. I said, can I just tell you? I love talking to young men like you about the things of God. I said, I just love telling you what your future is going to be if you choose one way or the other. So relax, man. We're just having a good time. Yeah. Yeah, it is a good time, isn't it? He says. And he calmed down. I said, now there's one thing I want you to do before you get off this airplane. He said, what's that? I said, when you see your mama, you tell her God's answering her prayer because some guy on the airplane started telling you about the Lord Jesus Christ because you ain't walking with him. All right, he says, I'll tell her. I'll tell her. Because I'm one of those boys whose mama was praying for them and different people had to come and tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the power of the resurrection, how he can change your life in one moment. And it happens in a moment when you believe. Amen? And then I told him too, I said, listen, Chad, I'll tell you what. You go, I want to know what book you're reading and what you believe. He said, that's a good question. I said, good. Go home, read whatever books you want. And then the next time I see you, we're going to talk. The next time I see you, Chad, I want you to tell me what you believe and what book you were reading. And I'm going to tell you what book I'm reading and I'm going to tell you what I believe. And we're going to find out who's right. I said, and if you're right, I'll buy you dinner at the Texas Day Brazil. I said, but if I'm right, you're going to buy me dinner at Texas Day Brazil. So the next time we meet, bring money because I'm right. But the problem he had was the name of Jesus. The problem he had was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem he had was the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that it's all wrapped up in him. Why can't I just be good? He wanted to go back to just going according to the Ten Commandments, my works, my acts. But it doesn't work like that. There is forgiveness in no other name other than the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you, we're going to give you a chance to receive him. Luke 20 and 36, it says, we are the sons of the resurrection. We're the sons and daughters of the resurrection. I think we need t-shirt. We should start a biker gang. Sons of the resurrection. That's what I think. T-shirts made up. I just like that. Right? If people want to know who you are, me? Oh, I'm just a son of the resurrection. Wouldn't that be incredible? From now on, anybody asks you, hey, who are you? Son of the resurrection. Because I got that life, given, living water that flows from God above, right? Whatever it is, you are a child of the resurrection. The resurrection power brings us to a place that no matter what happens, we act different than the world. Right? When Paul and Silas were in prison, right? They got locked up. What'd Paul get locked up for? Preaching about the resurrection. And then Paul and Silas, they get beat with rods. They get thrown into the lower parts of the dungeon and they get chained to the wall and their ankles and they're standing there. And what happens when that resurrection power of Jesus Christ kicks in? They start to worship. They start to sing. See, that's the difference between resurrection power and human power. Because most Americans grumble, not even being chained or shackled. Tell your neighbor, say, you know he's talking to you. You see, we complain, we whine, we snivel about nothing. Somebody sat in my chair this morning. We'll find anything to complain about. Can I tell you? That's not the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul and Silas are chained in there, down in the dungeon, and they start to worship and they start to sing songs of praise, you know what happens when two people get together and start to worship God in the midnight hour?
Yeah.
Earthquakes. I don't know about you, but I need earthquakes in some of my family members. I need an earthquake. And therefore, if we're going to have resurrection power, then no matter where we're at, what we're going through right now, I don't care what you're going through. I mean, I care, but I don't care what you're going through. But I know there's a short way through. And that's for you to grab a hold of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he hears and answers your cry. He's the one that came alongside of you and he said, hey, I pulled you out of that miry clay. Stop going back down in it. I healed you and I made you whole. Your mind has got to be renewed because you keep thinking about silly things. But if you agree with my word, because my word is what brought you out of here, you heard according to my word that if you ask, if you believe in your heart and you confess, I couldn't get past ask. But if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved, right? Right. And up out of the miry clay you came. That's resurrection power. Had nothing to do with you, not your works, not my works. But what an amazing Father that pulled us out all because of an act of faith. And now he said, all things have become possible because you believe. Oh, Jesus is just so good. That's the resurrection power. And no matter what happens to us, we act like him. No matter what people say about us, we say what he says about them. Right? Why? Because all that I have need of comes from him. He's the one that gave me a new name. Son of Righteousness. I don't know what you're confessing. I've been saying it for years. Mr. Cartwright, every time he calls, just about, I answer the phone. I said, is this Righteous Rick? He said, yes, it is. Because that's what the Word of God says. Right? I'm going to start calling every time somebody calls me, the one that Jesus loves. I don't know what you got to say. But you see, that's resurrection power. Because when we start to agree with what God said about us, that's when the power starts to become manifest in us and through us. Because if you won't say it, you don't believe it. Isn't that what the Scripture says? We're not to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I absolutely love it. We were sitting in a restaurant down there with a pastor. I only met him a couple of times and went to lunch with him and his wife. And me and my wife were sitting there and I'm looking at this guy across from us. He's about a couple of booths away, Spanish guy, and a whole bunch of women that were with him, and I couldn't stop thinking about the guy. So I just got up and I walked over to him in the restaurant. I said, look, I don't know you. I don't have a clue who you are, but I do know one thing. I said, God has called you. You've been playing games and it's time to change your life. It's time to surrender. People have been praying for you and I want you to know he's got a plan for your life and it starts today. And he just sits there nodding his head, pointing across the table. His mama was sitting there and she's over there. See, but that's what happens with resurrection power. We start to believe that that person sitting across from you is not a mistake. It's not, oh, maybe he'll buy my lunch. That's not why he's sitting there. He's sitting there because we're supposed to go give him a word. Why? Because we spent time in the word with God. We spent time in prayer, and we know that God speaks to his kids. I love speaking to my kids. I love it. I love talking with them. Sometimes they just ramble. Maybe yours don't do that. But sometimes we have to hear about every single detail of cutting grass sometimes. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything. But I love listening to them. Can I tell you, God loves listening to you. It doesn't have to be our Father, which art in heaven. And that's the only prayer that you pray. He wants to spend time with you because he wants you walking in that power that he's given you. 1 Corinthians 15, 20, 22, last scripture. He said, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Tell your neighbor, say that's true. And has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So life comes through Jesus Christ. The power of the resurrection is acting on what the Word of God says, not because of how you feel or what you think. The power of the resurrection is when the Holy Spirit is infused in each side of each and every one of us, then the very power that created the earth or formed the earth now lives on the inside of you. And I want you to know, he's going to lead you to other people. Because we've said it for many years that your anointing is not for you. Amen? Because if the object of your faith is a Jesus who is not raised from the dead, your faith is in vain. Right? Paul said, we should be pitied if it's not true. I don't know about you, but I know the word of God is true. According to 2 Timothy 3:16, it's inspired by God. And I agree with the word of God. Therefore, I know that he has been raised from the dead. 500 people saw him, and we know all the different facts about it. And because of that, my life becomes free. Because of that, my life starts to change. I start to give myself to the things of God. I start to step out into what God's called me to do. And I need every man, woman, and child in here stepping out into what God's called you to do. There's a greater harvest coming, Kia, this year. But it cannot be the same as last year, your time. Your time has to be given. It has to be given to those that you need to train, because you cannot do it on your own. You have to train at least 4 this year. And I'll be inspecting. You always inspect what you expect, don't you? Right? Whatever you build. Right. So there has to be at least 4 women that God puts on your heart that you grab a hold of, that you train in the Word of God, so that they can go out and train 3 or 4 other women. Because otherwise you will limit what you can do. It's just that simple, isn't it? It's just that simple. Darren, we gave you a word last year, right? Said you got a year to build your house. Good. You're mine this year. Just saying. I don't know why God quickened me with that word. But now it's for a project a little bigger than a house. It's called the Kingdom of God. The power of the resurrection is on display everywhere. And I thank God for the display that he has in you. Because when you walk in the love of God, everybody around you starts to change. Everybody around you starts to change. I forget who it was. Somebody was mentioning that, because Friday, on Good Friday, we had just different people doing different things. And one person told a lady that goes to another church, somebody from another church said, that's incredible that the leadership allows different people to do it rather than just the leadership. If only the leadership does it, then I failed as a leader. Our only desire is that each and every person understands the power of the resurrection, the very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, lives inside of you. He lives inside of you. You are a child of the resurrection. You are. That's who you are. And now you're free to do the will of your Father. Amen? See, because we act different than the world. They're not going to like you. When you stand up and say, I believe in the resurrection, Next time you're out for dinner, just stand up in a restaurant. Wouldn't that be fun? Make believe you're having a discussion with your wife. Right? Just, honey, stand up. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How about y'all? Why not? Listen, when you walk into a room, see, if you're walking in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you walk into the room, you need nothing from anybody. None of them have the power to set you free, to save you or deliver you or heal you. Now, no other person on this planet. So when I walk into the room, here's my thought process. Every room I walk into, I need nothing from anybody in this room but what I got everybody in this room needs. That's my thinking. Okay, I'm arrogant like John. It's not an arrogance. It's because when I walk in, the only thing I can give them is Jesus Christ. I don't have anything else to offer them. But what it does is it removes all the fear. Why? Because I agree with the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And therefore, he's going to use us to pray and to prophesy and to train and equip other people. How do you meet them? By opening your mouth. So it didn't matter what restaurant we were in. We were in another one. Another waiter came over. We talked to him for quite a while. Got to encourage him in the things of God. People I sat with on the plane on the way down. The guy was a 12 and a half year Navy SEAL. He got out. He said, I'm tired of training and not going to war. He said, so I got out. All he did was train. I said, what'd you do when you got out? He said, I went over to Ukraine because I wanted to fight. He said, that's what I know how to do. I lost two of my buddies. I went over there a couple of times. A couple of them died. I said, well, you're making some silly decisions. You might better know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says, well, I've been thinking about that. I said, that's a great idea, man. And so we got to go all through. But I pray to God that as Christians, we have the same mentality. We're not just going to sit around and train and train and train and train and train, but we're going to get out and we're going to go do what we were called to do. We're going to go do what we were trained to do, and that is preach the gospel, pray for those that are lost, heal the sick, deliver those that are oppressed, and open the eyes of the blind. Amen? That's what God's called us. That's the resurrection power when we deny ourselves and pick up our cross and we follow him. Oh, it's so much fun following him. Yeah. That Navy SEAL, I'm praying for him. I want another shot at him. I'll see him again. I tell all these guys, when I'm witnessing to them, I tell them all, listen, next time I see you, and they're like, what the heck is wrong with you? It's a small world. So the next time I see you, and I tell them all the same thing, you know, that if I'm right, you're buying me dinner. I'm going to be eating good in a few more years because I'm doing that with everybody I meet. I don't know what your plan is, but the power of the resurrection is in you. When we believe, and then when we act on what Jesus Christ has said. Amen? Stand up this morning. And on behalf of the leadership of the church, we want to say happy Resurrection Sunday. Okay? It is not a time to draw back, but it's a time to press in. It's not a time to draw back for the body of Christ. You're here. Listen, maybe you're a visitor for the very first time in this church. I want you to know you were here by divine appointment. You've put your hands to many other things and they haven't satisfied. We all have. And then we met the King. And everything changed. We met the King and everything starts to change. And can I tell you, your gift will make room for itself if you'll step out in it. We were down there preaching. Got done in the church. Just met the pastor a couple times. He said, why don't you come out to our conference and preach in the church planting seminar that we're going to put on. So I can't make it that weekend, but maybe some other time. See, when you step out in your gift, doors open. God keeps opening doors. So blessed by them little girls that came, sorry, the middle girls, what do you call them? The juniors, sorry. You want to get in trouble? Ladies are vicious, especially when it comes to their children. But when they come up and they dance, they use their gift to glorify God. Was it perfect? It was. With all the mistakes, it was still perfect. With all your mistakes, because of the Christ in you, you're still perfect. With all of it, you lack no good thing. Isn't that good news? Now we need to go out of here and we need to walk in the power of the resurrection. You know what that means? That means if your whole family's coming over for dinner, no fighting. I wasn't going to do anything. I was being nice. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I didn't know if you was checking on me just because I went to bed last night at 10:30 and fell asleep at 11 and the Lord woke me up at midnight. And then after he woke me up at midnight, I went out and I read till 3 o'clock this morning and fell asleep, and then my alarm went off at 4 o'clock this morning. I needed time with him. And the only scripture that came to mind was when Jesus said, I have bread that you know not of. And I thought, Father, you're the one that can sustain me all the way through because I got 8 grandkids coming for lunch. And they're busy. But I know my God can sustain me on 2 hours of sleep. But tonight, I'd like a couple more, Lord. So I don't know what you're walking through. I don't know what's going on in your family. I don't know what's going on in your life. A lot of you. Some of you I do. Justin, you've been prophesied over a long time ago that God's got a plan for your life. You know, you make that shirt look good, you know. It's very easterly. See, because she's got to pray in Mama and Daddy. And there's a reason why you're married then. And it was for something bigger than what you've experienced. But it's time. I know you make the best pizza around, but it's time. It's time. Your value is much greater than what you've experienced or what you understand. Your value is based on the blood of Christ that was shed for you. Don't ever doubt it. Your yesterdays in Christ are washed away, but only in Christ. Sorry. No, I'm not. Just looking to see if there's anybody else the Lord wants to encourage this morning. He's got a plan. And I don't know who you are on the end. What's your name? Rob. I met you before. I did. We're glad you're here, Rob. Yeah. Now we got to be faithful. Because there's a whole bunch of people out there, but the scripture says a faithful man who can find. And that's what God's looking for. He's not looking for the most gifted and talented. There are a dime a dozen, Rob. But he's looking for a faithful man, and that's you. And when you're faithful, the sky's the limit on what he can do through you. So be prepared. Because you're going to Your sleeping pattern is going to change. Not as bad as mine, but your sleeping pattern is going to change, Rob, because he wants you all to himself, all by yourself, before your mind starts running and racing in a million different directions. Okay? It's a new day. It's a new hour. It's a new time. And now the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come upon you. And he's going to take you in a different direction than you were walking before. Because he said you were supposed to lead men. But you're going to have to die first. Anything that you've lifted above him, you're going to have to lay down. He's going to cut it away. It's going to be a cutting away of the things in your heart. But what he's going to produce is something beautiful. Something glorious. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. And Lord, we're just so grateful we get to celebrate the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we've seen where others who have come and laid down their lives and they said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and I receive him as my Lord and Savior. And then they were water baptized and then they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and then they went out and they changed the world. Lord, we want to be those men and women that change the world. We don't want to live just a normal, everyday, average, boring life in America where the only focus is me and mine. But Father, we want to lay our lives down this morning for them and those. We want to be the men and women that walk in that resurrection power. Lord, that when we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. When we proclaim your name, people come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, that as that resurrection power is transforming who we are, and your word is renewing our mind, we want to come to a place where there are no other thoughts that consume us than the thoughts of eternity. Father, this morning, I pray your blessing upon every single one that's here. Lord, that each one would have an understanding of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else in the universe can wash away the guilty stain, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity.